This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today is Pat Martino. This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. I'm very pleased to be speaking today with Pat Martino. How are you doing?
Just great, John. It's a pleasure to be here.
Hey, I am delighted to have a chance to talk shop with you. And we want to set the stage for folks and kind of let them know what we have going on for our location, which, as we look to my left and to your right, one of the most stunning views that you're going to have for any kind of...
It's incredible.
We're looking at Flathead Lake in Big Fork, Montana, here as part of the Crown Guitar Festival and Workshop. And I think it's their ninth season now. And just looking out at the lake, the sun hitting the lake, is going to be almost impossible to carry on a conversation. It's so stunning. But a great setting to be having a chance to speak to you and to talk about your career and your journey with music. I'm sure your music is going to be very familiar to a lot of our listeners, particularly, of course, to those who are more inclined towards jazz, but also soul and rock and fusion. And we'll talk
sure.
a little bit about that.
Sure.
I guess where I wanted to go, I should say renowned guitarist and composer Pat Martino, in case you are not familiar with his music. Before we even start talking about music, and before we started the interview, we were talking about a little bit about Philadelphia.
Yes.
And, I told you I was a 76ers fan when I was younger with Dr. J and all those guys. Let's go back, 1944, Philadelphia. Tell me about what's... I've never been there. I've never been to the city, certainly not in 1944.
Well, 1944, gosh, that's when I was born.
Yeah, all right. So maybe a little bit bad. Whatever, you know, just kind of take us to that era of Philadelphia and just kind of growing up in the city.
Well, there's a great deal of it that is very hard to recall. Mom and Dad were... they had a clothing store in Philadelphia, and they were tailors. And I grew up in that environment in South Philadelphia. In fact, Mom's family resided there. They all came in from Italy, and Dad was born in Philadelphia. So I grew up in the midst of it. And at the age of 12, I started with the guitar. And it never ended. And it's still going to this day. As far as the different facets of it, there are so many that it's difficult for me to even have a point to begin with. So I leave a lot of that up to you to take my, you know, move my attention to specifics.
As I recall, your dad was pretty immersed in the music scene.
Oh, my dad loved guitar. In fact, one of the greats was Eddie Lang. And my dad became friendly with Eddie Lang, and Eddie gave my dad some guitar lessons. And that's what really got my dad interested in guitar players. And that caused him to take me around and expose me to so many different musicians, great musicians. At that age, at the age of 12, I found myself listening to Stan Getz and Johnny Smith. And Mom and Dad took me to a place in Philadelphia called Pep's. And there I was sitting at the bar with Dad and Mom listening to the Montgomery Brothers.
As in
at
Wes.
At the age of 12, 13 years old, you know. And I became very friendly with Les Paul at that time. My dad really made sure that he exposed me to some of the greatest artists. You know, it was great. So when my dad took me to a teacher, it became very difficult for me to adhere to the rules and regulations that teachers in that really demanded attention, you know. I would be given violin books to learn some of the basics in reading music. And all of that, to me, seemed to be distractive compared to imagination and the ability to just sit down with the guitar and play with it like one of my other toys. Mm-hmm. At which time, of course, the guitar itself became my favorite toy.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight, and I'm speaking today with guitarist and composer Pat Martino. Pat, it's pretty impossible to talk about your journey with music without touching on your journey with something called AVM.
Sure.
And I wanted to maybe ask you to kind of lead us through a little bit of what that journey has been and what, you know, it's a very famous story for those of us who follow music and particularly jazz and jazz guitar.
Sure.
And I think it's a story that a lot of music fans do know, but some folks don't. And I welcome whatever you're willing to share about it.
Well, I'd be happy to recall as much as I possibly can. I know that the AVM, I was born with the problem. I would say by the age of 17, 16 going to 17, I began to feel seizures. I was taken to different professionals to find out exactly what was causing this. And at that time, throughout a number of years, from the age of 17 to the age of 36, it became the most significant experience, having to go through the process. I received all kinds of medication for it. Each was a trial and error. Then I also received electric shock treatment at times. That was trial and error as well. But in 1979, going into 1980, I was living in Los Angeles, in Sherman Oaks, and I had a seizure. And thank God there was a very close friend that was with me, Louise Gilbert, and she saved my life. I was told that I was swallowing my tongue, and she literally brought me out of it. And the following morning, after I came out of the shock wave, she took me to the hospital in Van Nuys. And for the first time, they did a CAT scan and an MRI. And that was the first time that it was accurate with regards to a diagnosis that was true. Well, when they did that, they gave me 2 hours to live because the seizure that brought it about was formidable. I decided not to have the neurosurgery take place in California because I had mom and dad in Philadelphia, and being an only child, it would have really wiped them out if I was lost in California. I was picked up at the airport and driven directly to Pennsylvania Hospital in Philadelphia. And at that time, Frederick Simeone, a formidable neurosurgeon, and he happened to be a big fan of mine, guitar buff. Frederick, wow. Yeah, everything fell in place.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He did two operations, and the first was on Good Friday. I went into a coma. The second was on Easter Sunday, and it was successful.
Oh, my.
I know. So
read from that what you will, listeners.
I know. It was an amazing experience. I came out the other end on Easter Sunday with the tumor was taken away, but I had no memory whatsoever. I didn't recognize mom and dad, none of my friends. There were a lot of people there. The next few years was to recoup, to make a decision as to what I wanted to do, reminders as to who I was and what came before me were constantly provided by mom and dad, who I had been staying with at that time at their home.
And I want listeners to stop for a second and go back to that sentence. I literally couldn't remember anything. It's just staggering. It's a staggering story to listen to. The devotion of your parents is what's striking me too, you know, and your friends as well. Needless to say, this stopped your music career in its tracks. And I do know part of the story in that sense that you had to completely relearn to play an instrument you had absolutely mastered.
Yes.
This is fascinating. Please continue.
I think what was most interesting when I look back at it, what I was told about what took place, I did things such as carry an album that was from the past and looked at the album cover and saw a picture of myself at an earlier age. And it told me what they had said and what they told me about myself was true, that I was a guitarist, that I had records out. My dad and mom had all of my albums. I personally disliked the instrument at that stage of my experience, primarily because I was not aware of what it was supposed to do for me. I had no interest in it. I had no interest in music at all. In fact, I had no interest in anything. So, you know, that in itself led me to periods of depression. It went on and on until finally other things became priorities. Mom and Dad began to reach their departure. And I think there was nothing like that priority that was healing. I went through that and did the best I could under those circumstances. I began to go to different clubs in Philadelphia just to take my mind off of the day, to relax, sit at the bar, have a glass of wine, and pursue what would take place next. And one night I went to a small place in Philadelphia where there was a local group, and in that group was a pianist, a keyboard player, that was so stunning. I was sitting at the bar totally in shock of such a great player. And at the end of the set, Jim Riddle, who was the pianist, he walked over and he recognized me and he said, "You're Pat Martino." And I said, "Yes, yes, that's what I'm told." and Jim said, "Man," he says, I love your playing." And I said, "Well, you have no idea how much I love your playing." Mm. And out of the back of my mind, I said to Jim, "I would love to play sometime, you know." And that's where it began, to honestly begin to formulate something which was a doorway into the career again. Mm. You know, it was being exposed to the truth of it, the great player, a great player.
And The Return, right?
And The Return.
And that's yes. The name of the recording project that was the yes. first yes. one, right?
Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight, and I'm speaking today with guitarist and composer Pat Martino. Pat, before we did the interview, while I was setting up my equipment, again, we'll tell listeners we're at the Crown Guitar Festival in Big Fork and recording this in late August of 2018. And setting the stage again as we look out in this gorgeous Flathead Lake here in the Flathead Valley. There was a workshop that was going on prior to setting up for this interview, and I was speaking to someone, and they said, "Well, who are you going to interview?" And I said, "Pat Martino." And she had gone to your masterclass earlier this week here at the Crown Festival, and she was just enthralled with your work as a teacher. And one of the things that she spoke with reverence about was your philosophy that you spoke of, which makes a lot of sense given everything you've talked about your life's journey, of just being present.
Yes.
As a musician.
Yes.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
A very interesting facet that I think eventually becomes a decisive stage of growth and evolution. It happens for all of us. I began to think about tomorrow as an illusion, as something that didn't exist, as something that had no formidable specifics. I remembered, you know, how it was that I used to think about tomorrow, success, a career, the fruition of all the work and commitment that took place, and that really it didn't feel true. Very much like Eckhart Tolle. I reached the stage where the game was over, the participation in this dilemma. I began to pay more attention to now, here and now. I knew that yesterday had passed, that it was of no importance whatsoever about now. And the only thing that was really important was to pay attention and no longer be addicted to anything that was distracting from the moment. And one of those things was the guitar. I remember a time when the instrument itself was an addiction, and I devoted myself to it with no looking back. There were so many things that were missed in the process. The love of others, what they loved about life. I used to think that what they loved about life was a distraction to what I loved about life. And what I loved about life was the guitar and nothing but the guitar. And it was an entrapment in many ways. So I began to see and give thought to all of the things that were essential to my use to be able to be precise in what I had to do on a realistic basis. I began to think about penmanship, the use of that particular tool. I began to think about the grace and beauty of lifting a fork and a knife and a spoon and the use of them artistically, you know, all the things, dressing. And the one thing that didn't fit was the guitar. It seemed to have been so demanding and so prioritized that it distracted me from everything else. At that point, I began to give thought to implying what I had learned from all of the other levels of use tools. And I began to see the guitar as a tool. When I did that, I learned something about the ability to play, that it was innate, and it didn't have to be protected anymore. I didn't have to try to be something that I was not. And it then was the birth of the instrument taking its place with all the other instruments that were of service to me. And I think that was a stage of growth that reduced a lot of the distractions from everyday living and the beauty of a rainbow of events that are successively from moment to moment to moment to moment. And some of those moments have nothing to do with one's career with regards to the instrument that they have devoted to. I reached a point where my devotion was all things, to pay attention to the moment and everything in it.
Pat, there's so many other things that we could spend time talking about, or at least I could spend time talking about with you and hearing your wisdom about, whether it's talking about the guitar, whether it's talking about life and your journey and the journey we all go through. Thank you so much for being a guest on Musician's Spotlight. PatMartino.com is where you can go online to find out more about Pat's work and his recordings and what's going on in his life. Thank you so much for being a guest.
John,
on the show.
Thank you.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been Pat Martino. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us online on Facebook and on Twitter. Our program is available as a podcast from those websites as well as through iTunes. Special thanks to the Crown Guitar Festival and Workshop in Big Fork, Montana for this interview. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.